is a little something, Courtney. We're going to talk about your health for a bit here. And then we're going to leave you with something very positive to round out hour number two. It's extremely important that we don't just get mired down in all this political nonsense. Dr. Nicole Sapphire, television doctor, says skipping breakfast could be the greatest thing you do in 2020. Skipping breakfast and doing that. There are studies now that show eating in a six-hour window, maybe a little bit wider, and fasting for 18 hours may reduce stress, increase longevity, and make you healthier. Think about that. The ever-growing debate between Dr. Oz, who advocates skipping breakfast, and Mark Wahlberg, who looks like a stud at 50 or whatever he is now, who maintains that breakfast is the most important meal of the day. But with longevity, you need to maintain something that you can do. Now, I've met a couple of people recently that do fasting, and they've started it. One comes to mind, a friend of mine, who's lost more than 50 pounds doing this. And part of what I do when it comes to my pure health, there is a long period of time there, basically fasting. That's about 12 or 14 hours, not 18 hours. I don't know if I could do 18 hours. It seems like a long time, but 12 to 14 hours from, you know, you don't eat after 8 o'clock at night, and then you don't eat a meal till about 11 o'clock the next morning. It's about 15 hours generally. You might have water and coffee and so forth in the morning, but that's about it. And these studies seem to indicate that when you do that, you are healthier and live longer. So is breakfast the most important meal of the day? I'll let you do more research and conclude for yourself. But the results that I have seen have been very positive. And for Nicole Sapphire, she says they are very positive for her too. And Dr. Oz, television doctors, I realize, but they put a lot of value in that conversation. So I put it to you to go do more research for yourself. If you're looking for a way to lose weight, My Pure Health Solutions is one way to do that. Go to GruberHealth.com. If you have questions about that, GruberHealth.com. I've done that program. Lost more than 40 pounds. Feel great. Still have it off. If you go to GruberHealth.com, some great pictures of me, too. You'll love them. Okay, so here's the good news. Here's the good news. The global war on poverty. You don't hear much about this. You hear me talk about it some, but you go to, you know, you go to ABC, CBS, NBC. They don't talk about this. They want you to believe that it's doom and gloom, that the world is under siege from war and terrorism and refugees and illness and recession and famine and climate change. That's the narrative they give you every day. Good God, no wonder people are stressed out. The problem is we're living at the best time in human history. We live longer, more productive lives than at any time in human history. Period. Let me give you some examples. Global poverty has fallen faster over the past 20 years than at any time in recorded history. In fact, around the world, hunger, child death, and disease rates have all plummeted over the last 20 years. It's all true. More girls are getting in and going to school than ever on the planet, worldwide. In fact, never before have so many people in so many poor countries made so much progress in everything they do. Some of these gains, especially the declines in poverty and child mortality, should rank among the greatest achievements of mankind. If you can drop the child mortality rate and get rid of extreme poverty, which, by the way, let me give you an example. In 1993, almost 2 billion people around the world lived on less than $2 a day. 2 billion people living on less than $2 a day. That was 40% of the world population living in extreme poverty. Not the case anymore. That was $10 a day for a family of five. Can you imagine? But that has changed dramatically. By the best estimates, the number was down to around 700 million in 2015, adjusted for inflation. 700 million, still too many, I'll grant you that. But from 2 billion, and the population, of course, has gone up dramatically since then. And it's not just a country here or there. It's countries as far away as Indonesia, Mozambique, Ghana, Brazil, El Salvador, Mongolia, all of these places experiencing an increase in wealth. And not just that, but access to clean, fresh water, access to sanitation systems that they didn't have before to get rid of human waste. All of these steps forward are happening. Think about this. Prior to 1980, just half of all girls in developing nations completed primary school. That's elementary school. Now, 85% do that. Less than 50% of adult females could read and write, but today, globally, literacy among women has surpassed 93%. This is good news. This is good news. It's happening all around us. And what does that? Free enterprise. Capitalism is the driving engine behind all of the success. We create more food today using less energy and less land than we ever have before. The production from a single acre of cropland in America produces more wheat, more corn, more rice than it ever has. Even in this particular year, 2019, all the flooding, all the wet land that we had through the Corn Belt of Illinois and Iowa and Ohio and Indiana and up into Michigan, all the flooding and all the planting that didn't occur because of the flooding in the spring, and still the world set an all-time record for food production globally worldwide. So this climate change thing that's apparently destroying the world is, well, feeding the world, because we're feeding more people today than we ever have. Extreme poverty, less than 10% on the planet. Less than 10% is extreme poverty on the planet. These are things that we should embrace and celebrate. And yet we spend most of our time, we being people in the news and broadcast news industry, talking about partisan political battles and impeachment and finger pointing, when we should be coming together and saying, look at all this good that we've done. Look at all the great things that we have done, and how can we do more? That's what we should be doing. And that's where our focus should be. And hopefully it will be soon, because hopefully this whole impeachment nonsense will get pushed out of the way. It's a Wednesday. Good to have you here. If you want to find out more, SteveGruber.com is the place to be. SteveGruber.com. We'll be right back on the 22nd of January.
DTE believes that the energy we all use doesn't have to contribute to climate change. That's why within the next 10 years, we will triple renewables and cut carbon emissions in half. And now, we're announcing a bold new goal: to reach net zero carbon emissions in electric generation by 2050. DTE has long been a leader in clean, affordable, reliable energy. And leaders don't just do what's easy. They do what's right. DTE.
At DTE, we're committed to using our energy to serve and transform communities, helping to create a brighter future for us all through projects like building parks, partnering with schools, job training programs, and volunteering our time to those in need. Because at DTE, we believe we have a responsibility to serve our customers and our communities. Learn more at dteimpact.com. DTE.